do your thing like you do your thing. I think that's appropriate song for what I just saw. Only Indiana. Well, I don't think, no, you know what? That was being judgmental. I was boxing myself. No, that's not true. It could be anywhere in the United States, not just Indiana, but I saw it in Indiana. I don't know, did they have an Indiana plate? I really didn't pay attention because the Confederate flag was so large, it was really hard not to see it flapping and flying in the wind with the American flag on the other side. Confederate flag. Didn't they remove all the Confederate flags down south? No. It was ballsy. Do your thing like you do your thing. That's appropriate song. I'm like, whew. I don't know, you know. Everybody's entitled to do what they do. You do you, you know. You do you and let people do themselves. And I'm just going to say, I don't think I'd be flying any Confederate flag. I don't know. You know, just kind of, you know. Sometimes you don't want to dip your feet and starting and, you know, but to each their own, you know, whatever. That was a little shocking. That was the first time I've seen a Confederate flag fly on the back of somebody's vehicle. They banned Confederate flags a lot of places. You know, Confederate flags was part of the Civil War, for people who don't know, and if you're a nerd like myself and you like history, but, I don't think so. You know, I think I'll pass on that one, you know, but, you know, that's all I gotta say. I'm telling you, I cannot, they're trying, you know, you just, you feel bad. Anybody else, you feel bad and you bypass the news, you know, and you're streaming and you can pick, you know, the stories and that, which I like to do because you can bypass the live news feed. This is great about streaming and that, and Roku and, you know, whatever you're using. Most people have Roku and you're streaming, and it is so, so incredibly hard to watch the devastation of Hawaii. I mean, something that, it's the truth, something they have, it's historic, they've never seen it. And just to literally know so many hundreds and hundreds, and I think it's going to be way past 1,000 people still missing. A gentleman on a live stream, you know, doing an interview with the news station, and heard something, and a little kitten. So young, eyes weren't even open, and among devastation is life, you know? Life is life, you know? Not human being, you don't have to be just a human being, life is life. There's a lot of people that don't understand that animals and pets are not, they're not objects, they're not decorations, they're not a cure when you feel like at disposal. Oh, I'm bored, oh, the kids are out of interest in that. You adopt, you rescue, you foster a pet, they're part of your forever family, they're for life. You know, if you can't be responsible and understand that, then don't, you know, you're doing a disgrace and disservice to animals, you know, it's the same as having kids. If you can't put your kids first for the rest of your life and know that that's your responsibility and be a mother bear and a father bear and be a mother hen and wrap your wings and, you know, and you put your kids first, then don't have kids. It's not being mean, it's a fact. There's too many people that think that you just need to say it. You know, sometimes we just need to express ourselves and free ourselves. Maybe the world, like I said, will be a better place. But don't have kids. And if you can't take care of pets and another part of your family, then don't bother either. Don't do a disservice, you know? It's ridiculous. I don't know how many rescues I have cared for, I have nurtured, I have, you know, aid back to health. I have a couple right now. One is an elder cat. And I know it came from a family where, you know, a loved one had passed away and family members didn't know. You know, just take, you know, find somebody to take the cat in. That's what your loved one would want. No, instead what they do is they just open the door and let the cat go. This cat is an elder cat and was diabetic. Luckily, even took the cat in, you know. I just felt drawn. Animals know who they can trust. Just showed up, you know. That's how the story went. And Papa is like the best elderly cat. I mean, he is one of the best. And he ended up having to take him to emergency vet when what's wrong with him. He just collapsed. He's diabetic. Insulin dependent. I know, Blue. I'm upset about people acting like that too, you know. Just don't be a jackass, okay? You know, be a responsible adult. You're an adult. It's your responsibility to be responsible. Nobody else. You, okay? You take in animals. You rescue, adopt, whatever situation, they're forever. You can't understand that, then don't do a disservice. Kids are forever. They come first before you. It's the most selfless decision you'll ever make in your life. You don't need to have kids and you know, and birth the child to know that. Women, ladies, we were kids at one time. We know how that is, and it's important to understand that. If you're not ready, prepared, and understand it's for life, responsibility, then don't bother bringing a child in this world. You're not ready. You're not emotionally mature. You're not responsible. Whatever situation. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. Let's save, you know, kids going through a lifetime of hell and trauma and depression, anxiety, and, you know, a lot of times it's how they're raised. And then, you know, by trauma therapy, it's 90% how they're raised. If there's dysfunction and craziness in the household and the parents aren't attentive and they're fighting and they're arguing and blah, 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 blah. You know, and you already have kids, do your child or children a service and give them to somebody that can care for them and give them the life and love and attention they need. Maybe later down the road when you're set, you know, emotionally stable or whatever situation, you know, and then you can reconnect. Your child or children will respect you so wholeheartedly when you get older and they get older and understand why. Hey, listen, why I placed you with so-and-so or why they made this decision. You know, because I wanted to give you the best life. Don't force them because of your arrogance and ego or you don't want to feel like you failed. You fail when you don't bring your child in the world and give them everything that they need and give them unconditional love and attention and support and be emotionally present. You fail. You fail as a parent or parents when you don't do that. You know, you can't stay on top of their health. You can't be attentive. You can't blah, 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 blah. I had a hearing and a judge really, really put it into really hardcore words. But as he said, this is the hardcore truth. You know, end result is we have adults that grow up in really, really hard situations because there's neglect, there's negligence, there's failure on behalf of a parent or parent's responsibility. It's the truth, you know? Well, it's the same as pets forever. You know, it's not a joke. If you're not prepared, don't do it a service. Don't do it a disgrace. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch that stuff in Hawaii. That gentleman picked up that kitten. Oh, my Lord, women. Oh, my Lord, women. My heart beating, you know, I'm like, that's my man right there. There, that's my teddy bear. That's my man. That's my manly man with a soft heart. I want my manly man with a soft heart. You know, there he is right there. I love animals. Animals have always held half of my heart, if not more, my whole life. That's the truth. My grandmother was very passionate about animals. She was, you know, a member of PETA and American SPCA. And before she had passed, I had mentioned about shirts that she had, vintage shirts from when she was a member of SPCA and PETA and that, when they used to give shirts out to members and that were part of, you know, the organization. They donate a lot of money, you know. My grandmother's very passionate about animals. And I have a couple of her shirts, vintage shirts, and every time I wear them, I think of her, you know. Or she got looking down and smiling, you know, like, good for you. But, yeah, Papa is insulin dependent. I have another cat, Lucky, and Lucky is definitely her name. And she has congestive heart failure, heart problems, and it's a genetic thing. It's nothing to do with anything I've done or environment or anything. It's genetic. And they didn't give her, and this was 3 months ago, they gave her like less than a week to live. They gave her just enough medicine for a week and didn't think she was going to make it. I was thinking, oh, really? Watch me. You know? I thrive off of giving life, and giving all the love and attention and nurturing and everything I can give my 100,000,000% into helping the animals, you know. I'm not God, you know, I'm not here to save people, and you know, and you can't really save animals either, but when animals are sick, and just like people, you can be supportive, you can give your 100,000,000,000,000%, and it's amazing what happens after, and miracles and reversal of things and extension and extent of life. You know, it's kind of like with the specialists, and I'll say it, cancer patients, oncology. You have those doctors that are oncologists that do it for the six figures or plus. And then you really have oncology groups. You really have oncology specialists. And I've been blessed to have been part of groups and now an active, permanent, you know, patient with oncology group with a team of oncologists. Soon to retire, I think they said next year, actually. I'm not sure when, but my lead oncology specialist had said to me last, you know, e-visit that they are going to be retiring next year, but I will be part and, you know, given to their colleague. So I'm under great care, but, a lot of people do it for the money, you know, and then there's those people that do it for the passion. They do it for the love they do to help people extend their life. Never going to save someone as a cancer patient, oncology patient, but what you can do with treatments is you can help, if you choose as a patient, treatment is to extend your life. Really, it's all about, and to live your best life when things get really out of hand. My last scan was my final scan. I haven't talked about this. It was really been up to me on the scans of having them. It was after oncology treatments when I was sat down by my oncology radiation specialist, and there were other oncology specialists that flew in town because my case was under Rare Cancer Institute. So there was a government medical expert that was there as well that kind of watched when I was going through treatments. And I found this out by my oncology specialist now and my radiation oncologist. How Rare Cancer Institutes and Institutes of Health and that and deal with cancer patients and rare cancers. NIH is one of them, as a process, and oncologists that, you know, monitor and follow your case, and when oncology treatments fail and it didn't, you know, it didn't do what it should have done with the tumor, let's just say. I was scanned like every 3 weeks, and then we went every 3 months, and then it was every 6 months, and you know, once I made it past prognosis and we saw the thing getting larger and larger, it was the point of, we can rescan for you. It was always my benefit because I wanted to see what I'm battling. And then it got to the point over the past year, well, you know, where I was just scanning every 6 months and then, you know, where need be. The last scan we had was not a good scan. And I realized that if I continue scanning, is this really serving me well? Do I really need to see this thing continuing to pick up, you know, speed and continuing to grow larger and larger? Is it going to really make a difference? Is it going to matter? You know, does that matter? You got to know, and it's up to you and good oncology specialists in that. We'll leave it up to the patient of when I've, you know, it's done. We don't need a scan anymore. It's enough. And focus that time on palliative care or hospice care, whichever you choose. A lot of people have been asking the difference, and for me to get into more in-depth between hospice care and palliative care of what I chose and why I chose palliative care. I'm going to get into that in another podcast, just for the benefit to have people understand, whether they're oncology patients, cancer patients, you know, same, or it's a loved one, or maybe it's, you know, a specialist that just listens to the podcast. There are those, on my point of view and insight and what I, how I have been educated of the difference and what, you know, the difference of why I chose personally the way I did with palliative care. But, I stopped the rescans. And the reason being is the last rescan was pretty damning. I wasn't expecting the tumor to get as large as it is. It's pretty much the size of a small cantaloupe now. It's larger now than it was before we started treatment. Oncology specialists, oncology radiation specialists were 100% spot on. It's going to continue. It never got resolved. We maxed everything out. We can't do anything else. There's nothing experimental anymore. And what are we going to do? Risk versus benefits. The risks of going through experimental treatments that aren't FDA approved far exceed any benefits. Right now, we focus on living my best life, palliative care. I continue losing weight. I'm not hungry. My appetite is pretty much zero. Right now, a friend of mine who's in town from Tennessee gave me, and he gets all sorts from, you know, he's a builder, but he gets them from clients and that. And I get a lot of Dunkin' Donuts gift cards, and he's always giving me gift cards. And I try to, as he said, you know, get yourself something high calorie, you know, because you know you can't eat a lot. And that's what I've been doing. Has it moved my weight? No. But it's giving me the calories I need. And I get home and I'll put in some protein shakes. I got the, you know, powder I'm finishing up. And thank God I finished that Premier Protein root beer because I was absolutely nasty. I got my Slim Fast orders, Amazon, Walmart, delivered. Ironically, same day. So I got strawberry cream, I got the original chocolate, and I mixed it up, but I'm not hungry. I realized after last scan, when we sat down, and you know, with oncology, and I know with palliative care, they've already sat me down and said things are getting worse, and this is where we're at, and facing a pretty tough future for you, and we're going to have to continue increasing meds. You'll get to the point with meds, you're not going to be able to get out, you're not going to be able to travel like you are a driver. You're going to be homebound, but that's part of the process. With trauma therapy, I understand, I get it, but I already knew. You know what I mean? I knew the process in that. I've educated myself. I've connected with other women with ovarian cancer. I've connected with other oncology patients, and I know what I'm looking for in the future and looking at. But right now, it makes sense with the last scan, as large as that thing is. It pushes on your intestines, so you got to remember, when you're eating solid food, your intestines have to force what you've consumed, even drinking things, because your ureter tubes, which come off your kidney, your kidneys, you know, has to bypass this tumor, because this tumor has got everything pushed out of place. My organs, scar tissue from radiation, we maxed it out, has literally got things fused like super glue. And we realize now why I'm not hungry. We're pushing up on the organs and that. And then when you're trying to pass what you consume, whether it's your intestines and, you know, your ureter tube, your urine, you know, bladder and that, is makes it really difficult. So you're not hungry. The nausea increases. And then days like today, I don't have the nausea, thank God, but I'm just not hungry. I feel better when I don't eat at all. And that's sad, but that's how it works. That's the journey when things progress. It's a hardcore fact in reality. Again, for you listening, when you sat there and you wanted to make fun of my specialist in oncology when they said your condition's terminal, what you needed to do instead of making fun of me is you needed to sit down and ask me what that means, sit down with my oncology team, and let me let them explain to you what terminal means. Terminal means there's no other options, they can't do surgery, and there's no other treatments. The condition and result is fatal. Whether it's a complication, because the tumor is going to cause a complication. What ends people's life of oncology patients isn't the tumor. It's all reality. It's a complication. Blood vessels rupture, internal bleeding, secondary infections, you know, sepsis. Fluid retention, you know, ascites like I have, you know, gets infected. You know, if you were to quit coming after me, for whatever reason emotionally that you were, person listening, and instead sat down, you know, I would call you up when I was going through things, and during the course of the years that we did not know this was a tumor, and I was going through a lot of symptoms, and I was really sick, and it was affecting my body, because it was affecting everything. They didn't know I had ovarian tumor. They didn't know I had ORS, ovarian rearrangement syndrome, secondary ovarian tumor. They didn't know this stuff. This thing grew for 7 years, but I'm calling you after specialist appointments, and you're literally comparing me to people. Oh, well, so-and-so has this and the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Did you realize how hurtful that was? You never apologized for your behavior. That was your decision how you acted. But I literally gave you time and time again when I should have just stopped contacting you and gave you opportunity, another phone call, to get it right and be actually emotionally supportive and available to me of who you are on totem pole and you weren't. Instead, you got vicious. And you did things that were just as, to a federal judge, were is past the point, as he said, is past the point of cruel. I've never seen any kind of response or behavior. Reading transcripts, as he said, was absolutely just heartbreaking. And it should have never happened to you. You didn't have the support at all. You know, and you should have. You had that right. The judge was glad I'm in trauma therapy. I will always be in therapy. And it's benefited me tremendously. But I just don't understand you listening. Like, you literally would make fun of it. Oh, you're not terminal. You don't even hold a medical license. You're not a doctor. And you sure the heck aren't an oncology patient. You're not an oncology doctor. But the biggest part of all is you knew I was having treatments. You're watching the blog, watching the podcast, whichever it was then. And you literally could have showed up. And you never even showed up. Instead, you showed me who you were. You showed out. You weren't there. Why didn't you just take the time to communicate? And if you can't communicate, learn how to communicate. Whether it's learning online, a therapist, whatever, a book. And sit down and be a support. You repeated a pattern of somebody else who went through as a cancer patient, oncology patient, and there was somebody who should have been there for them and they weren't either. Do you realize that you actually continued a pattern? Not being present. It doesn't matter what people are going through and differences or, you know, whatever situation. You can still be present for someone. You know, the person's going through treatments, already sick as can be. I was already sick as can be. I wasn't really in the mood to talk to even Eric at that point coming out, you know. I gifted myself things before, after treatment. There was a little cupcake place, bakery. That was all on the way to the hospital. I had, you know, treatments to the hospital inside Cancer Institute. And I would gift myself cupcakes, one or two, whatever. I just take some home. That was something for me to look forward to. I highly encourage you as cancer patients, oncology patients, and when you're going through brutal-ass treatments, especially fast track, which is the most damning, because they realize this is fatal. And if we don't do something now, you're on borrowed time. And that's what happened. It's the truth. You need to gift yourself and do something nice for yourself. reward yourself after treatment. You know, don't wait on anybody else to reward you. You ain't worried about anybody else. You worry about yourself. You take the greatest care and spoil yourself rotten by yourself and do it for yourself, because it's going to help you get through the treatments and the rough days. It really helped me. And you need the calories when you go through treatments, because you are not going to want to eat at all. You're going to lose weight. You're going to be sick as hell. The sickest you've ever been in your life. Radiation, what I went through was fast track 3D. It wasn't just one dose of radiation. And I realized years later, I have multiple doses at once. It felt like being burned with a match internally. And it literally fried my skin and stuff. And it was crazy. But I understand. I get it now. And I'm glad that I was educated and also educated myself of what I went through. It's part of me. What I went through is always part of me. It's part of who I am now. You know, I'm allowed to talk about it as many times as I feel like it. Anybody doesn't want to hear it? Hey, I'm not forcing you to listen to a podcast. You can just easily just go bleep, and you can go on to a different window on your phone, or you could just go washing your windows right now, because that may help you. It's a good great week to wash your windows. It's the truth, but I don't understand you. You don't make no sense to me. I ever thought of like sitting down old school with a pen and paper, maybe a whole notebook of paper, and literally going through of things that you've done to me and literally writing a letter to me, and so I can make sense of your decisions and quit projecting and doing a false, which is no apology at all because you haven't, but literally find an excuse for your behavior. Why'd you do this? Well, bah, 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 bah. Why'd you do this? Bah, 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 bah. Why don't you just take ownership? Because you release yourself. You free yourself. And you realize by taking ownership when you make decisions is the best decision of all. Because you release skeletons, you release the bad karma, you release the bad energy, and you free yourself, and you become a greater and better person. And the end of our journey, isn't that what we all should like strive to do and be? And especially be present and be emotionally available and supportive to people. And sometimes even if you're having differences, it's just being present physically, especially when people are going through cancer oncology treatments. I had no one but Eric. And Eric was going emotionally and trying to cheat outside the marriage while after every treatment, I come home, I'm lying down, and my love and my support and unconditionally there was animals, my fur babies. It wasn't people. Nobody came to visit me. I never got a card or anything from my in-laws. Never asked for anything. I didn't get anything. I didn't get any card from extended family or anybody. I got emails and that from friends and people that I connected with, you know. That was my support. Eric was not present. He should have been present sitting there. I can't say it as many times as I can. At per oncology specialist, he had no business being any type of caregiver at all. He could have really ended up making matters to where if I got sick after treatment and I passed out and he's not present, it could have been really, really not good. And he could have been in some serious, serious trouble, you know. But I didn't know what he was doing until things surfaced with the phone carrier and charges and that and things that weren't making any sense, and he had no choice but to come clean. So I look at it now, and I always will, is talking about it has freed myself and has helped me to heal. But I didn't have any human support. You know? A lot of people do meal chains or meal trains, whatever. I didn't have that. But I watch people. I have a, you know, cousin, extended cousin that went through, their daughter went through cancer treatments, and I was talking to them, and they had that meal train, and it was happy to see and read and follow her journey and the support that she had. That filled my heart, made me happy, because that's normalcy. And sometimes you need to read and see and be part of somebody's journey when you're not going through normalcy and see what normal really is. And sometimes that takes breaking away from your own reality, no matter how bad it may be or hurtful. I moved past the lack of, and I made peace for myself. You don't owe anybody apology, you know, when they're not present in the biggest, greatest times of your life. You apologize for yourself to free yourself so you can move on. You know, you can talk about it however, whenever you want. But for you, I don't get it. You don't understand what terminal is, coming from a judge in oncology. You know, but glad, all parties, that I continue with therapy, and it has released me, and it's helped me to make personal growth and becoming a different person, because I'm here and that's there back there, and I'm looking ahead, and every day is another step, another lease of life, but it hasn't been easy. I'm back, like I said, with palliative care and oncology here in next, what, just a couple weeks. We stopped together the scans. In reality, it was my choice. And I saw that, I was like, And realizing, okay, now this makes sense what you're going through. This makes sense what you're going through. And now do you understand? You understand this is just progressing. This isn't going anywhere. We don't need to rescan anymore. That was my decision. And if something happens and I have a complication, they're not going to rescan. This is where your dual power attorney and your wishes in that, and where you need to get an estate attorney, and I have one, and they put all that stuff in their safe, and they are the go-to. And when you're on federal disability, that connects with your will and your dual power attorney, and you know, there's a contact. You have case managers with your disability, and something happens and you're in a situation, and you know, your life is in that, and part of the journey is that's where the will and the state attorney steps into play, and all of a sudden that will and dual power attorney, everything starts, you know. The document is now in full process, you know, and it protects you. It really protects you in every which way and form, you know. That's the truth. But doing scans, and if something happens and complications, you're not going to scan. They're just going to make sure to try to get me on my feet, and most importantly, get me back home. And that's what we all agreed upon. So I expect the next 2 weeks we're going to have to increase things again. I'm noticing with when you get medicine and you're, you know, palliative care, it's similar to hospice. Sometimes hospice has to get medicine that's not normal of what pharmacies carry, and they don't. And with one of my medicines now, it's not. So it's like you have to travel. I have to travel out of state to get it, because in state Indiana, they can't get a hold of it. And different states have different regulations, and they get a little weird and, you know, cuckoo. And it's just really easy for me to go out of state and have it filled, and the pharmacy will contact the drug manufacturer. They have it shipped. We call ahead of time. They have other patients that have been on the medicine I've been on. And there was another medicine that was rare, and I would have had to drive even farther. So this is like not even that far away for me to go and get my medicine filled by another pharmacy. But that's part of the process, you know. It's life. You know, it's life. So, you know, it's just part of the journey that, like, you know, there's nothing to be fearful of. It is what it is, you know. But, you know, all I can say, because I'm going to go get my Dunkin'. I get decaf, and I get sugar in the raw, and I love that turtle, the, caramel turtle or turtle whatever, ice drink. I love that. It's like 460 calories for a medium. I don't know if they factor in if it's sugar. I do Stevia in the raw. I don't know. With the app, it's hard to say. I don't think it's probably 460 calories, but it may be. And if it is, that's great. That's 460 calories that I can consume. I make sure. I can only do a medium. I tried a large last time. I'm like, oh, that's just too much. You know, it's just way too much. But that's what I'm getting right now. And then I don't know about taking the fur babies. I have to take them individually. Blue's set for her space surgery later this month, and a friend of mine introduced me to a canine puppy camp that's right over out of state and not that far away at all. Of course, I forgot. Listen, she has to be spayed first before she can be part of the camp. It's kind of like a little daycare for her. Little baby Blue is very, very, very all husky. She is super hyper energetic. And although she gets a lot of playtime and stuff, I don't have the full yard, you know, like I did in Ohio. But she has, you know, places there's an area, you know, dog runs and that. But she really needs time. So a friend of mine was like, listen, you know what? I'll give you an early Christmas gift and try it out. So I went and visited. It's a puppy camp, puppy daycare. Of course, Snore, he can't go. Snore's not going to go. He's 9, and he's not into that. He wanted nothing to do with the other dogs. He's all German Shepherd. But this will be something during the day. It's just 4 hours, but it'll give her a chance to run her energy out. And I completely agree with the owner, who is every bit about animals as she said, I always had a love and passion for animals, and I always thought one day I would just want to have a big daycare and puppy camp and for all dogs to go to. But she definitely has to have spay, of course, for reasons. And of course, she's already caught up another shot. So I am just ecstatic to be able to start her probably mid-September and be able to go somewhere where she can let her energy out during the day, because she is in so... At 6 months old, she's worse now than she is as a puppy, and that's huskies in general. Their terror days, and I've always had huskies, but their terror time is a year to 2 years old. That's the time you have to really keep an eye on them. She likes to try to dig the china in the front yard. Oh, my lord, you know. I've been down the husky road. If you've never had a husky before and don't understand, you have to hunt, be 100% attentive. You have to always make sure they have toys. You have to always make sure they're active. And sometimes, like with her, you have to get calming, just vitamins. They're not a prescription, you know, perfectly safe. Just calming vitamins. She has to take them twice a day. It's just a vitamin. It's not a prescription, just to help her take her edge down, because she can get very, very rowdy. Seriously. If you've never had a husky before, you might want to educate yourself and read up, okay? This is not just Snow Dog Show. Oh, they're cute. I love to have the husky. Look at that. No. They're like I said, family. They're forever. And you have to understand every husky is a little bit different. Now, she's got more energy and more energy driven than the other huskies that I've been blessed to be their human mama too. So she's going to be going to puppy camp. And I'm like, that's the greatest Christmas gift really ever anybody can give me, because she definitely needs it. And it gives me time, one-on-one time with Snorio, since he's older now. You know, he's 9. And my other 4 kiddos and life, you know. I can't wait, and I can't wait to, you know, share and show and see how she interacted just to visit, just to check it out. And I brought her, and I had to bring him back in the car, but she did really well with the other dogs, and they are, of course, all older dogs and stuff, female, since she hasn't been spayed, she couldn't be around the male dogs, but she did fairly well. And I think it's going to be, I mean, you feel that vibe when no place is right, and I felt really good vibes right from jump, you know, and I read up on the place and that, so I know, you know, everything's legitimate and she'll be in great hands. But I want to say this, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, you know, you have to be a responsible adult. That's life in general. You have to be a responsible parent. Parents, you have pets. You have to be responsible for a mama, for a daddy, you know. But having human kids is the biggest selfless act you'll ever decide in your life. Don't have kids just because everybody's having kids. Don't have kids because it's like, oh, everybody else is having kids and stuff. You know, and everybody gets in those moments, ladies. Everybody else is having kids. And some guys are getting to it, too. Everybody else is having kids. And, you know, and maybe I should have kids. And I've always wanted kids. You always wanted kids, but are you ready for a child or children? See, there's a difference. I always wanted, but I am ready. You need to think about that before, you know, people have families. I want to have a family, but are you ready for children? Are you ready for a child? Make sure you're ready. Don't do a disservice. Just please don't. And sometimes a disservice is a lifetime, and it affects a child or children even through their teens, adolescence, and adulthood. It's not good. And think first. Remember, it's a selfless act. It's forever. It's not a cutoff age when you're not going to be a parent of parents. It's forever. The same with fur kids. It's forever. You got to be attentive, responsible, and present, you know, for the lifetime of the pet. It's the same, you know. Now, don't give the stories, guys. Don't give the stories, guys. Oh, you know, I didn't want kids in that, and she punched a hole. I heard this story before from a guy. Yeah, I didn't want a kid, and she punched a hole in the condom, and she cornered me, and I wasn't ready to have kids, and all of a sudden she's pregnant, and you know, blah blah blah. No, 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 no. When you have sex, guys, when you have sex, you can have a faulty condom. Just because you have a condom, sorry if people don't want to hear this and go beep, oh, sorry, uncomfortable conversation, beep, great podcast, up to this point, beep. Hold your ears. Don't go blaming the woman because she got pregnant. It takes two to tango. You can have a faulty condom. Yes, you can. Don't use an excuse. That's the biggest, worst excuse ever from any guy. If she put a hole in the condom, all of a sudden I'm pregnant. No. If you're not ready for the consequences of having sex, okay, men? And the consequences can be is an accidental pregnancy, okay? If you're not ready and responsible for being a father, okay? that don't have sex. And better yet, go get a vasectomy. It's that easy. Get a vasectomy. Have all the sex you want. You ain't gonna have no kids. Okay? You don't want kids? You don't want them? For the guys who don't want the kids, you don't want the kids? All right, have a vasectomy. Oh, that's too, you're gonna shoot your ego down. Oh, you're gonna feel less of a, you're gonna feel less of a man because you got a vasectomy? No, you're gonna look less of a man when you ain't responsible for a child and children you bring into the world because you wanted to have sex and now you want to blame the woman? Mm-mm-mm. Your grandmother gonna come down from heaven and just go wham, just go giving you that old slap. Sonny of mine, get your head on straight. That's right, all right, that's right. Don't have sex, okay? Period. You're not responsible for sex. Don't go blaming, don't find excuses. It's once again, you do it a service to your child or children. That's right, because when you have sex, it's a possibility every time. Period. You know? And by all means, too, there is adoption. There are plenty of women out there and couples, and I've been through reproductive health and infertility and that, not being able to have children, realizing that on my own. You know, and it was too expensive of an option to have a surrogate and to go that option. You know, when I was looking into it, you know, my late 20s, is it was really expensive. Insurance didn't cover IVF and reproductive. And I only had a small window to correct a fallopian tube that never developed. Period. I had 2 weeks. I was in a very unhealthy relationship. Like I said, I'm learning trauma bonding and my mistakes I've made my whole life in unhealthy decisions with men. And I'm so glad I made the decision not to. It was a hard decision to not get pregnant in 2 weeks, but it would have been a child without a father. And that to me was not okay. And my decision, that's my decision and my decision alone. I'm not talking about anybody else, I'm talking about me. I have no regrets at all, you know. That was a hard pill to swallow, is realizing I'm not gonna be a mother and not going through motherhood, you know. But when you're an oncology patient, you have ovarian cancer, you go through treatments with your ovaries, you're also going to realize, and I'm just saying this as a podcast because it's a real reality and it's a great podcast topic to talk about, because you got Hal Berry out there talking about menopause. And I know menopause is so taboo because you hear menopause, and I know I did growing up. It's like, ooh, you know, it's like the taboo word. Ugh. They need to just change the word. Don't use menopause. Just use it as hormone changes. Because guys, you go through menopause, you go through hormone changes too. Your testosterone changes when you get older. Fact, okay? All right? You get the prune syndrome. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about with men, okay? It's a fact, you know? We shouldn't feel it so taboo. And I applaud Hal Berry for going out there and talking about, hey, listen, now I'm in this new part of being a woman and talking about how it's okay and embrace the changes. But what a lot of people don't understand is with the ovarian cancer, ovarian tumors and that, you bypass all that. You'll never go through menopause. You'll never go through life changes. It's like a light switch. That's how it was for me. It was an instant shut off. They're shocked. They were shocked. I was shocked. More shocking, I didn't go through any symptoms or anything. I didn't go through any menopausal symptoms. It shut off. And then the ovary regenerated itself and started functioning again. And then the hormones switch back on. Then I'm never going to have the off switch again. That's how it is. That's why it's in rare cancer institutes and IH, and I'm still a case because they follow me through the rest of my life to help other women. That's a selfless decision I made. No regrets. But we shouldn't be afraid to talk about that, you know? It's life, but you know, I'm just saying at the end of this podcast, be responsible as an adult. Be responsible, folks. Be responsible of your choices, your decisions, your actions, and most importantly, your behavior. Be responsible for how you're supportive when times that you're not supportive. Make closure and peace with your past. You'll never, ever be out of your past until you make peace with it. And then you'll be in the present and you'll be able to go in the future. You know? You'll be thankful for making that decision. You'll be able to release yourself. And most importantly, you'll make peace with it. So get out there, have a wonderful weekend, and please don't forget to check online. American Red Cross is the best place to go to help those in need in Maui and Hawaii and outside of, you know, a situation as those that lost everything. And for those that can open their home up and you have an extra place to stay, please don't, you know, hesitate to reach out to organizations. Start with Red Cross and they will direct you on how to find means and ways to even fly families over and those that have no home. But most importantly, to help everyone in need. Amen.